Honorable champ. Give me a count around, Joel. Blah, 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 blah.
3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
That show!
Who's the best show here?
That show!
Good. That's the best one yet.
Big O! Showtime!
Pizza, pizza.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 828 of the Linux Link Tech Show. I know. I don't know what's going on tonight. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Good evening, everybody.
We have Pat.
I like beer.
And we have Joe.
Yo.
Mostly here.
And Joel.
Yo, yo.
I got him out of order anyway.
Did you say Joe and Joel and Joel and
no? I said, I meant to say Joel, but I said Joe, and then you both did. I was just like, I'll just throw the name out there. I don't care. It's there we go.
Freaking hell!
Oh yeah, yay! Too much
Linux.
What about Linux?
Ubuntu 19.10 beta.
How do you 19.10? How do you like it?
I just actually loaded it in a VM today, and the one thing I'm trying to do here is supposedly there is an experimental, so I haven't actually played with it at all, but there's a reason for it. In 19.10 is supposed to have an experimental way to do your installation on top of ZFS versus just standard ext4. ZFS is isn't that from Sun, I think?
I think Sun Microsystems had the technology. They, I believe,
yes, originally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they licensed it under the...
So it went
from
Sun to BSD to Linux?
Yes.
It's been in Linux for a while. Capability, I think,
introduced
in there.
Yeah, it's always, I think it's had the capability to read ZFS pools since at least 16, Ubuntu 16, I think.
Yeah, the big problem has always been the licensing surrounding it and whether it can be included by default distributions in the kernel.
Yes, it's technically OpenZFS because it originally started on OpenSolaris in 2005. According to the Book of Knowledge. But at least... Yeah.
Book
now,
of Knowledge?
One thing, yes, the Wikipedia.
Oh, I was going to say, are we really at the Book of Knowledge page? I was like, do you still have those around? Like the big encyclopedia sets? All right, go
fucking wacky.
Nobody has
the supermarket.
Yeah.
Anyway... So, basically, there's a couple ways you can set up a ZFS pool. You can set it up with the stripe mode, where you have multiple drives striped, or you can have it mirrored, where you have multiple drives, where each drive's mirrored. It's not like traditional RAID or anything like that. It's basically splitting the file system across multiple drives. All right. And welcome, Rich, if you can hear us. Maybe he's just listening tonight. This is Zettabyte File System, is the name of it. That's what the Z means. So it's supposed to allow for larger file systems, and I think there's supposed to be ways that you can spin back. So,
right.
Like, say you had a problem, you can spin back to a certain point in time, I believe.
Right. It does snapshots. Of your
Correct.
File system.
Correct. So, anyway, I was at least able to set up a striped volume. I was able to run the installer on it, but I actually haven't gone all the way through because I thought, well, wait a minute. If it's saying everywhere it's supposed to be built into Ubiquiti, at some point. So I'm trying, well, I'm trying to see if there's a way, maybe the first time I did the installation, it ran through to completion, but the first time I set it up with the no bootloader flag, and I didn't try rebooting it. I just said, well, let me try setting it up with the bootloader to see if it actually just boots up on its own. Because instructions I'm finding are from like one or two versions of Ubuntu ago. So anyway, but that's one thing it's in it. I think new improved versions have everything, supposedly performance increases here and there. So the installation is just the same. Ubuntu's installer Ubiquity has been just rock solid for many, many years now at this point. There's installation of Linux is just not a problem like it used to be. Really hasn't been a problem in probably 15 years now at this point.
But you're running it in a VM, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, realistically speaking, pulling it up inside a VM, and for how much you played around with it, did you really notice much of a difference between that and
not really
the current version that you're running now?
Yeah. Not the fact using ZFS in a VM is kind of pointless, I think, unless you maybe have a ZFS storage pool that's on a network somewhere, then it might make more sense.
Well, but couldn't you also use like PCI pass through and just dedicate a bunch of hard drives to that VM?
You could probably, depending on which kind of a hypervisor you're using.
I mean, on the other hand, you could do that in a VM and then wipe stuff out and then recover it and see how well that works.
Yep. It's just cool that we're finally getting... I mean, there finally is some kind of exciting stuff. Because I can see where ZFS could be very useful in a desktop situation. You know, I keep thinking of the person who accidentally deleted a file, you know. And if they deleted it between, maybe you set up so it automatically did snapshots every day at a certain time or something, you might be able to spin it back and get that file back for them and things of that nature. But, you know, I think it's probably even more useful in a server situation, too. So that's
I can't imagine general users trying to figure out.
No, it has to, yeah, it has to be boot the disk. It has to be just as easy as using ext4, and it's not there yet. It just won't be in, probably until another version or two.
Even then, I'm like, oh man.
They'll read that, and they're like, it'll be like, what the hell is that?
What people need is just a scream of the keyboard, and when it doesn't work anymore, you throw it away and buy a new one. Oh yeah, it's called the phone.
That's right. Yeah, and that's, you know, interesting too. You know, with phones like a the camera on my Pixel 2 XL is pretty much about had it. It can't focus on anything close. And one of the things I use my phone's back camera for a lot is actually barcode reading.
Taking pictures of your junk so you don't have to turn it around, right?
No.
Barcode reading is really handy.
But yeah, no. My Sam's Club has the deal where basically you fire up the app, and you're walking through the store, and you can just barcode everything. You get down to the end of everything done, and you just hit a few buttons, and you pay it via the app, and then you walk up the door. They barcode the barcode on your phone, and that's it. You know, they've kind of added a couple things since they started doing it. Initially, they weren't doing anything but a visual check of the cart to make sure you didn't have anything in there that you shouldn't. But now I think it actually will, from the barcode, it'll say, hey, they should have this in there. Find the barcode and barcode it and make sure it's in their cart. And then they'll do that and then they'll let you go. So... just to make, and it's just to kind of give them a extra security check of that, since they don't, you know, I know some stores, like especially in Europe, they had this deal where basically the barcode reader would be literally built into the cart, and then when you get to the end, you'd roll your cart on a scale, and it would know by weight whether you had something in the cart that you shouldn't. Nothing like that with the Sam's Club app. But anywho, to back to the phones, I'm looking at. I'm waiting till the Pixel 4 announcement on October 15th. And then at that point, I'm probably going to make a decision. It's going to be a Pixel 4 or the Note 10 plus 5G variant, likely, is the ones I'm going to go for. The only thing I'm not too sure on is the front camera on that. I know it's a good camera, but I just don't like how they implemented it with the little hole. It's basically a hole in the middle of the screen, it looks like. At the top. But Joe's got one, I think, right?
Yep, I'm on it right now.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know, because if I went with the Note 10, then I could look at the deck stuff on it, where basically you've got a full desktop computer running on it.
Well, they don't have Linux on Dex available for the Note 10 yet. And Linux doesn't really work all that well on it, I can tell you that. I don't know if they will get Linux on Android on Dex, but there is a, and it's pretty good, Android desktop version when you connect it to a monitor.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't open up any more than 5 apps at one time on there.
Yep. So, and the one thing, well, and especially since I'm not waiting that long, but the one thing that I'm especially not going to wait for is the Microsoft Surface Duo. The first Microsoft phone that runs Android.
Yeah, I can pass on that.
Well, they announced it now, but it's not coming out until next year. And it's basically two screens. It's not like the Galaxy Fold, but it's two screens with a kind of like a hinge in the middle. And you can take the one screen and fold it back on the other screen. I don't know.
Wait, what is this called? The Galaxy what?
The Microsoft Surface Duo.
Who's going to be the manufacturer on that? I'm good pretty note. Sure they're going to outsource.
Oh, they'll have to. I mean, they'll do probably whoever does the Surface devices.
Okay, yeah, this thing with the foldable and it's got the big crease in the middle.
Well, theirs is a little different in that unlike the Galaxy Fold where it has like screens on the outside, theirs has no screens. That looks like no screens on the outside, and the hinge is an actual physical hinge. It's not.
Yeah, I thought it was a foldable screen myself there for a second. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's okay. And actually, if they wanted to do something like this, to me, this is the better way of doing it than Samsung's way. Because from what I'm hearing of people who have gotten the Fold, like the press people who have, like it's the Fold, the Galaxy Fold from Samsung is not very durable. Like one little drop and the screen's already cracked.
Which is why they never actually released it to the public. I mean,
yep. Well, they're supposed to be very soon.
Only if they did some major revamping.
But I don't know, man. The Surface.
I just don't see the point of the Duo. I really don't. You know, because to me, I'm like.
It's like too big to operate like a phone, and it's. It's like a tablet, but not really
people
that
People said the
great.
Exact same thing about the Note.
Well, but the Note's the a little Note different. It's one LCD, out. Though, but it's just one LCD, and this one is two. So right. If you really
want
to make it...
What they want is for it to take the place of both your phone and your tablet.
Basically.
But does it fold... It just looks too big to be a phone, and like... I wouldn't... It'd been too limited to be a tablet.
Well, and the applications are almost going to have to be a custom application, too.
Well, it's just going to be as limited as your regular average everyday Android tablet.
Yeah, no, that, I hear what you're saying. That's what I mean. It's like, I shouldn't say it's too limited. It's just like a tablet that's so, I don't know. Having two screens like that, can you fold it back on itself so you only have one screen?
Yeah, you can.
But then you're like, you're holding and scratching up that other screen, though.
And that's why I don't really care for it, to be honest.
Well, Joe's going to get one because apparently it sounds like he loves this thing.
Oh, hell no. Microsoft made it.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
but it's not, I don't think it's even the first phone that had the dual screens and was fold out.
No, I think, didn't that go to a Kyocera that did that once?
Yeah, that sounds right. And that phone did fairly well, not great, but fairly well, and you never know, it might blow up.
Oh, wait, it runs Android, so it's got to be good then, right?
It's probably going to be at least mediocre.
They gave up, right? They gave what?
Dude, there's plenty of shitty tablets and Chinese chewy devices that run Android. So just because it runs Android doesn't mean it's going to be any good.
If it ran Windows 10 and I could put Linux on it.
Well, it runs Android that is heavily skinned to resemble Windows 10.
That don't count.
It actually, there have been several other phones that had this kind of a display, like the ZTE Axum M, and an LG had a dual screen one like that at some point too. It's gimmicky. It's gimmicky. I mean, Microsoft does, I mean, any hardware they subcontract out is usually very good. You know, like their tablets are I have no complaints, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints about their Linux tablets either.
Haha. And it looks like they did actually, probably something that's sooner going to be released is their Surface Pro X, which is like a thinner version of the Surface, and instead of the stylus going on the side like my Pro 6, it looks like it's got a little space for it to go on the keyboard. So, I don't know. A lot of those are like executive PCs where, you know, your company's not going to buy you one. You could buy you one, but your company won't. The Pro X, and here's the other part of my issues is you know, when people bring out devices like these, like the Pro X is only going to have 8 or 16 gigs of RAM. 16? Can I have one with 32, please? That would be nice. But it does says it has a removable SSD. So I assume it's upgradable. And 5 megapixel front facing, 10 megapixel rear facing, who cares about the cameras? Farfield studio mics, which are pretty standard. Yeah. And I'm trying to see. That's exactly what I'm trying to see what processor is. I'm wondering if it's an ARM. And has not one but two USB-C connections. Thank you, Microsoft, for going something modern. LCD is 2880 by 1920. Where's the processor?
I mean, you can find plenty of tablets these days with i3 and i5s. Yeah, their battery life might not be the greatest, but still.
It's gonna be. I think it's gonna be Ice Lake, but it doesn't say which Ice Lake. Oh, no, that's the Surface Pro 7 starts with at a Core i3. With options for an i5 or an i7 and 4, 8, or 16. That's the 7 Surface, basically new version of the Surface Pro. but didn't tell me about the process on the other one.
And it will have a total of 45 minutes of battery life.
It says 10 hours. So.
Minutes if you're actually doing anything and have the screen on.
I'm more interested in the Pro X, though, because it looks a little bit thinner than other stuff. But not that I want to replace my Surface Pro 6 anytime soon. It's doing the job. I'm trying to see what the Surface Pro X processor is, whether it's ARM or Intel. I have not found much on it yet.
Bum, bum.
Oh, it's ARM-based. It's an ARM-based Qualcomm chip on the Surface Pro X.
So it's an upgraded Go?
So it sounds like. Except, well, the Go was Intel, but...
Was it the M series?
Yeah, the Go had the M series. And up until now, well, actually, here, actually, what I'm more interested in, does the Surface Pro 7 have actual USB-C in it now? Because it needs it, either USB-C or USB-C slash Thunderbird, or Thunderbolt, or whatever you want to call it.
Dun dun dun. You done?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, no, no, I was just going to go on, you know, we were talking about the phone there for a minute, and I was like, where's the dream of the Linux-based phone? What's Purism
got? You know what it is? It is? And this is something that I think we kind of talked a little bit about it last week, but I think Microsoft essentially is going to go to the Linux kernel at some point, and if that's the case, would you actually load Windows since it would be Linux-based?
Probably
no, but...
But what I was going to say is, like, what's going on with the Linux-based phone at Purism? The Librem 5
phone. Pine has a phone, right?
Who, Pine? I don't... Yeah,
Pine does
they,
have a phone.
Did they release it? I mean, is it...
They're doing that slow release where...
It's only out to developers
early,
and an SDK?
Yeah. No. If you get it early, it's a piece of crap and not fitted together very well. But if you wait longer, like another year, then you'll actually get something that might be usable that
well,
actually
yeah.
has like 3 or 4 year old hardware by then.
Ew,
well,
I
meant something that's not like that or developer only kind of thing. And so Purism doesn't have their phone either. But I did see, and I don't know if we had talked about this on the show at all, but you know how when we had what's his name? Is his name Tom from Purism?
Yeah.
Was that his name, Tom?
I think so.
So, like, the founder, I believe it is, on the show and talked about how they're really moving towards a secure, providing an end-to-end secure system. And he was saying about federated, free, secure, non-privacy invading applications like chat and social applications. See, they started releasing them. I don't know. Did you guys know about that? So they're offering a mail service, chat, Librem Social, and Librem Tunnel. So you have Librem Mail, and I guess they're hosting in some way an encrypted mail. I think the Android application, a mobile application, might be K9 that they're using under the hood. I don't know. I haven't looked at it. But Librem Chat appears to be Riot, and so that's interesting. And Librem Social, can you guess what Librem Social is, Joel? I'll tell you what, it already has millions of people Google signed Plus. Up.
MeWe or Mastodon?
It's off of Fostodon or Mastodon, built off of Mastodon. That's it. What were you going to say, Joe?
Google Plus?
No, yeah, Google Plus. And then Librem Tunnel is OpenVPN. So they're offering these, you know, services and support. So you have different tiers. So you can get the basic bundle, which is the chat and the social. So you're looking at Riot and being able to get into the Librem Mastodon stuff. And that's free. Or I guess they have tiered like $1.99 or $3.99 monthly that you can have in the social and chat. But they also just free. Then starting at $7.99 a month, you can get the complete bundle, which is mail, chat, social, and tunnel. So you're getting mail, hosted mail, and then a VPN, open VPN tunnel for you, $7.99 or $71.91 a year. And then the family pack gives you the five complete bundles if you want that for $14.99 a month. Mail, chat, social, and
so it's basically like Google services, but for the purism stuff that's supposed to respect security.
Yeah, so it's similar to Google services. Other things that they're currently working on, files, so an encrypted cloud storage system could be like Drive or Dropbox, a backup where you can back up your stuff. There you go, Rich. Another cloud backup service that's open and free. Pay as you go and then encrypt long-term pool. Cloud backups, contacts, so it's a contact sync and storage. Librem Pay, so I guess like a secure PayPal with private payments. And a phone service called Dial. Librem Dial. So we'll see where they get to with that. So it's pretty cool. I'm glad to see that they're making progress.
Yeah, but let's be honest, though, except for complete freaks like us, who's going to buy one? That's my thing, you know. But, you know, I just as much as I want it to be successful, I just don't think it will be. That's just my opinion.
Prove me wrong.
That's why I'm hoping.
All right, so I think the people who are already in that environment and maybe encourage other people to go along, I mean, you don't necessarily have to have pay for like a Librem desktop or laptop or phone to use any of those services. So I don't know. I mean, what options do you really have for email if you want like quote just privacy your own respecting email and you're not gonna run it yourself? I mean, what other
options? If you're not running it yourself, nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could. I guess Librem is offering the next best thing. I don't know who else offers. I think there's some other ones out there, but I don't think any. I don't know if any of them are free, like as in beer.
And their phone runs something called Pure OS, which is not based on Android.
All right. No, we'll see. Good and on
it's
them. Up,
it's available for pre-order. That's about it. But see, and it's gonna have the same problem that I would have had with the old OpenMoco phone, and I'm trying to think what else had the name of the Nokia N900 is if you're on a GSM provider like T-Mobile or AT&T, you're probably gonna be fine. But if you're on Verizon, forget it. It's not gonna be supported. And I'd switch. I'd love to switch. Actually, Google Fi has got a good deal going on as far as I'm concerned. But at least until we get rid of my son on the plan, I think we're with Verizon for a while. But my work phone's AT&T, and I don't have a problem with that either.
If phone companies were to treat their data plans more like they do their voice lines, then you could do more things. I mean, you wouldn't need a lot of the proprietary stuff that's used for voice and text messages. You can just use data.
Correct. But it's also the same reason why there's lots of reasons why that's going to have a problem, and other reasons too, like people more and more now. Well, I'm trying to think how I can connect it to cutting the cord, because I think we're going to be doing that by the end of this week, I think.
Yeah, you should see more cord cutting as 5G gets more developed. If it has the speeds that they claim, or even close to the speeds that they claim.
So, in my case, I think I've made the choice. I think we're going to go with... I found that Fubo TV actually has every channel I need, except for it doesn't have any Disney channels, doesn't have ABC. Unfortunately, that also is where they play the majority of the Ohio State Buckeyes games, which I do like to watch. My son mostly more than me, but I do watch too. So to kind of get around that, I went and I bought an HD and TV antenna, and we're picking up the Channel 6, which is our local ABC affiliate, and very good quality.
Have you checked out Pluto TV?
I did. I wasn't impressed.
Why don't you like Pluto?
Pluto's pretty good, but it's not new stuff.
Right.
You're looking for stuff that's new.
Right.
Oh.
And there's no sports.
That's where I watched my MST 3000 and Rift.
I know. That's the biggest reason I got it there.
Yeah. Well, okay. And I had that too, you know, but yeah, and it's free. But, so the one.
Read on.
No.
Read on TV movie radio player. If I remember correctly, it has a lot of local channels.
Right. The ones I looked at were YouTube TV, which. If it wasn't for the need for Weather Channel, I would have went with YouTube TV right out of the box. The service is really good. I have no complaints about it. Price is right. I was really happy with it. The next was Philo, which is one that Link went to. But I think Philo was missing. I think Philo was missing the Weather Channel. I don't really care about the Weather Channel, but my son does. So, in the end, though, see now we looked at the cable bill beforehand. Our cable bill just for TV was $109, more than our internet connection. All right. So, by switching to Fubo, we're going to end up saving probably about $30 or $40 in the end run, if you count things like that I am going to keep. I'll probably stick with Hulu because I can watch the ABC shows on Hulu. I do not think you're required to have a cable subscription for that. And I'll probably stick with CBS. What I need to start doing is on the CBS All Access is just keep it long enough to finish Star Trek Discovery and then cut it off when it goes into hiatus. And I need to do that. I'll probably need to do the same thing with NBC's Peacock service when that comes out, because they're going to have it's not a reboot, but a Battlestar Galactica series. So it's not a reboot. It's not a prequel like Caprica was. I don't know what it is.
But it's an original. It's a redoing of the original run of it. I think that's the Battlestar Galactic one. I think it's just like a remake of the original.
How come they're not remaking Buck Rogers?
Yeah, man.
What the hell? How many Battlestar Galacticas do we need? We need a Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers has only been redone, what, 3 times so far?
Once
on the radio.
And they'll probably redo Flash Gordon again, too.
Well, Buck Rogers is originally a radio series. Buck Rogers was originally a radio series. And then there was a TV series. And then there was the 80s one that we know.
Well, right, but I mean, they haven't had one since the 80s, is what I'm saying. Like,
correct.
You know, there's been, like, everything else but Buck Rogers. Like, didn't he...
And what? Ironically, it was also Glenn Larson production, too.
I was going to say, they didn't redo the A-Team, but they did. Yeah, they did. They made an A-Team movie.
They made a shitty movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I don't know.
Have you watched the A-Team movie with Liam Neeson as Hannibal?
No, I didn't see it. I did not see it.
Oh, it was awful. I did not like it. I just can't, I can't imagine George Papar, anybody but George Papar playing Hannibal. I mean, it's just, ugh. And then, who was, I'm trying to remember who Murdoch was in that one. It just was not good at all. I mean, oh, it's something I just, really figured out here in the last year or two that, Murdoch from the A-Team and Lieutenant Barkley from The Next Generation are played by the same actor.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I probably did. I probably just forgot.
Yeah.
because they look so different, you know, because he has no hair as Barkley.
Yeah, they do look quite a lot different, though, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and then like, you'll be watching something, and then you'll recognize that same. He's one of those character actors that he's in a lot of stuff, and you just don't know it sometimes. Your little mic thing printed out pretty cool, pretty good.
That's good. Just like I said, just let me know how much it costs to ship it out here. I'll get it back to you.
So are you actually building the radio that this goes to, or are you just adapting this to use with one of your radios?
No, I have a BitX40 that I finally put to, I've had it for like a year, and it's been sitting in a box, so I just haven't had time to do anything.
40-meter QRP.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's 7 watts or 10 watts, something like that.
Nice.
But I got most of it put together. I bought a, you know, because it doesn't come with a case, and I bought a 3D printed case off of one of the online things, and I swear to God he like halved all the material lengths, because I can practically pick this thing out of the box, put my finger through it, so that didn't work out very well there, and then I ended up ordering also from India a really nice case for it. Which actually works really nice. I mean, I'd read some horror stories that, you know, things weren't cut out the right spots, but so far everything seems to be, you know, spot on. The only difference I'm going to do is they gave you a quarter inch mic jack for the microphone, which I think is slight overkill for that size microphone, basically.
Yeah.
But the original kit gives you, because the case kit. Came with extra parts, so I used most of their parts, but the original kit came with just eighth inch jacks for the microphones, so what I'm basically going to do is I'm just going to take the eighth inch jack and get like a washer big enough to cover the quarter inch hole that's there, and then just use that as my mount.
Yeah, just need to rub this thing down with some alcohol to get the hairspray residue off of print.
No, but whatever. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yep. And it's copper color because that's what I had loaded.
I didn't care what color it was.
I didn't think so. But
like I said, I started cleaning it up because, you know, like, you know, some of the holes were, you know, the holes that, like, you know, in front there for the microphone, you know, they had a lot of, you know, stringing in them. So I drilled those out, and I started drilling out everything else. I'm like, you know, this is just, I mean, it just crappy looking either, you know, even if I got it all put together, and, you know, most of the pieces fit, but, you know, there was a lot of, I had to do some sanding to get some stuff in there, and I'm just like, this is crap.
I'll let you decide, but you may want to do a little bit of sanding on the PTT. That's about it, though. The rest of it looks pretty decent as far as I'm concerned. I cleared out the holes because I didn't print any supports on the shell. So since they had those countersunk holes, bridge, so there's a little bit droops there, but I just used some needle nose and picked those out, and they came out nice.
Yeah, that's the easy stuff to do there.
The rest of it looks pretty good enough. And actually, you know what? It feels more solid than some handheld mics that I've ever bought.
Like, I was trying to dig around, because I've been, one of my things I've been doing, I've been cleaning my basement out, which is why I can actually put the kit together, because I can actually see my workbench again. And I know somewhere floating around, I have an old microphone that I used to have on one of my Yaesus, one of the, you know, little hand mics that I know I don't use anymore. But, you know, as everything, now that I'm looking for it, it's nowhere to be found.
Oh, yeah.
Same way as I had some, you know, I had some red and black hookup wire that I know that I moved. And to be honest with you, I have no clue where it is now. Now I'm going to have to go out and buy another, you know, 20-foot roll of hookup wire for the 3 feet that I actually need. Unless I can find some wire to hook it up with.
It's like I had to clean out a space here in my office because the wife okayed it for me, and I don't know why, but she did. She didn't like, I buy the, like, when I buy pop for myself for the week, I'll usually buy one of them 36 can cubes over at Sam's Club, and they're huge. You can't just sit them in the refrigerator, so she had me buy a little fridge for my office here.
Well, that's good.
So I got it set up arm's length away, so if I'm working, I can just reach in and grab a drink out of there. Got some Dr. Pepper and some LaCroix in there. But
LaCroix tastes like somebody drank a glass of orange juice and pissed it out, and that's what
depends on which flavor you get. But yeah, generally it's got weak flavoring.
I like LaCroix.
I got the cherry lime curate version.
You and Joel can have your LaCroix.
Those are the ones in the little tall, yeah, skinny cans.
Wait, do you like LaCroix, Alan?
I do not.
Oh, look at that. No. All right.
I'm usually just straight water, personally.
Wait, what's is Pat still there? What is, does he like LaCroix?
They got him, man. The black helicopter.
He's drinking it right now.
Pat drinks beer.
My wife has been on the, what is the other one? Spindrift. That's the next one. It's like a little more flavor than LaCroix. And I'm like, there's still no flavor here.
You know, the most popular drink in Ohio, for some dumb reason, is alcoholic drink, is freaking Matt? White Claw.
What the hell is that? Oh, that's the alcoholic, the hard seltzer, isn't
the hard
it?
Seltzer, right?
Yes. Why?
It's basically alcoholic LaCroix. At least I haven't bought a bottle of Topo Chico yet.
What is that?
I've never heard of that.
Wait, it
it's basically
familiar.
The same. It's the same thing as LaCroix, except for in a glass bottle and twice as much.
You know, they got me twice. They fool me once on the not your father's root beer. You know, I got suckered into that. Never again. You know, and then the
you didn't like that?
The hard sodas. No, I don't like them because they taste like cough syrup. It's like,
oh, they're too sweet.
It's flavored malt liquor is what it is.
See, Topo Chico is available in the grand flavor selection of two different flavors. One is lime and the other is grapefruit, which is like disgusting.
And both are no way. What, they're hard
lime
seltzer,
is,
right?
Topo Chico isn't. That's just water. But the White Claw is like, it's like this generation Zima.
I don't know. I think we just go out and get a case of Four Loko.
I heard it doesn't have the caffeine in it anymore.
I don't know. I've never had one.
I'm wondering if that's why they all of a sudden, like, have you seen the Bang energy drinks?
Yes.
There's only like 20 freaking flavors of it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, It's like, it's not Monster and it's not Red Bull. It's, yeah. They got like the little circle in the logo or something like that. And the cans are different colors based on their flavor?
Yep, and there's only about 20 different flavors at every store.
I've never had it. And
I haven't either.
I haven't had that. I don't like Red Bull, and I'm not a fan of Monster.
Yeah, I don't like any of those.
The coffee Monsters are pretty good.
You can have them. You and Joe can have them with your LaCroix.
I wouldn't mix them together.
No way.
But you should try NOS.
Why should I try NOS?
I have. It's nasty.
If you really don't like sleeping, it's great.
You know, Bang flavor has flavors like Miami Cola. I'm like, what the frick is Miami Cola supposed to taste like?
Wait, what's that?
The Bang Energy drinks.
Oh, Bang Energy. I'm like, okay, you're still on those.
Bang also.
Miami Cola, wouldn't that be like a taste of
like cocaine?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Tastes like broken.
I wasn't going there, but that's a bit higher than I was going. So,
Miami Cola sounds like Walt. What's his face from Walter from damn it, what's that show that I didn't watch?
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. Yeah. That sounds like something he might drink. Miami Cola.
Now, so sometimes the wife and I will watch old commercials on YouTube, like at night. And do you guys remember when they used to have light soda? Not diet, but just light? Like Pepsi Light and...
I do, but it's really a long time ago.
And that was a long time ago. I completely forgot about it. Like, what's the difference between light and diet? Like, Light always had, like
or
one
Crystal
calorie.
Pepsi.
Well, no, that was... Light was before. So, we were trying to figure out whether Light existed before diet and it just became diet, or whether it was... I think it was a completely different product, because...
It had less coloring in it?
It was... It didn't have as many calories, but it wasn't, like, no zero calorie. I should look it up.
All I know is I can't stand diet soda. It's, like, so freaking disgusting to me.
There's one reason why I drink Diet Dr. Pepper, and that's because it tastes at least like a diet soda, period.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I don't like tasting it. It's like, it tastes like diet. It's like, it's aftertaste.
Oh, I forgot about Pepsi Twist also.
And there was the...
Pepsi with lemon in it? Yeah. Or lime in it?
No, I think it was...
The lime in the coconut.
Lemon flavored. Pepsi Twist was lemon flavored. They did have a lime one, but... It's currently sold in Canada, Russia, and Uganda alongside Diet Pepsi. Like, I wonder why they choose, like, why not somewhere else? Like, well, where's
nobody else wants it?
It's probably the biggest reason right there. The focus group says people in America won't buy this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this place, it's a Wikipedia page, it lists the Pepsi variations. There's nothing about Pepsi Light.
There's one Pepsi variation that was one of my mom's favorites, and I would buy it again if they brought it out, and that was the Holiday Spice Pepsi. It was actually pretty good back in the day.
Okay, I can see the can, a picture of the old school can for Pepsi Light, and it has a lemon on the front.
Yeah, but I don't think it had lemon in it. I think you were supposed to, like... Maybe that's the genesis of where they're always trying to serve you a lemon with a Diet Coke in a restaurant. Like,
maybe.
Why did that start? Maybe it was Pepsi. So
I like lemon pretty much any drink.
So you could tell the difference between the regular Coke and the Diet Coke.
That's the real reason.
No, you just take it to the table, and if you get confused, you take a sip out of each one, and that And then you go, okay, here it is, and hand it to the person.
Sorry. And then you backwash into it.
Oh.
There was a... We never had it in Ohio, but it was back in Pennsylvania. They had a Mountain Dew Sport. It's a sport, basically, like a Gatorade-like Mountain Dew. It actually wasn't bad, if I remember right.
Yeah, I can't find anything about Pepsi Light. Like, I can see pictures
I
and
just
stuff,
posted but... a link for it.
But I was looking at it, and I'm having
I'm looking at BevNet to see if... No, BevNet doesn't even have it. Wow.
No, I just posted a link in the Mumble, and they even mentioned that there was a 90s version without the lemon flavoring.
Oh, there we go.
Ooh.
History's Dumpster. There we go. Oh, History's Dumpster. Okay. So it did have lemon flavor in it?
The 1970s version did.
The saccharin-flavored sweetened diet soda. Like before, like right around the time of Tab.
Tab.
I mean, the one thing I did see is Pepsi filed the trademark for Pepsi Light in 2011. I'm like, wow. Maybe they had to renew it or something.
They did have, like, a couple years ago, they actually had a really good special Pepsi flavor. They had a salted caramel Pepsi, and it was only available, like, in northern Ohio here. And I got it when Luke was at a GTBA tournament. It actually, I don't know if it actually tasted like salted caramel to me.
Oh, I
kind
I
just, of.
I they had it down here. They had it here, the salted caramel, and I tried it, and I wasn't a big fan of it.
Yeah,
it was a really weird flavor.
It could have been good, but I don't think they nailed it.
And you know, Pepsi just... Fire. Pepsi Fire was another one.
Pepsi Fire was okay. That's the problem with some of these is some the ones they're coming out with now are just okay. They're not. They don't blow you away, you know. Dude, that History Dumpster is actually a pretty cool website. Because I don't even remember if you go to the main historydumpster.blogspot.com URL. The story from September 9th. We all know what Bacos are, but did you know there was Añejos and Sasos and Pepos, or Pepperos? So
no.
Basically, yeah, they basically had like Añejos for like dried onions for your salad, and I guess Sasos was probably little sausages, little like fake sausages, and Pepperos was of course pepperoni. I didn't know they had those. Bacos were the only thing that worked, I guess, and are still sold and available today. They're not real bacon. Then further down that page, it has 7-Up Gold.
I think I'm looking at that, and I'm like, I remember Keebler Soft Batch Cookies.
Yes, those were delicious.
I think I remember, but I don't know if I'm... I know that... Like, the 80s, like, wasn't it mid-80s or something like that? Where they really, like, they came out with those horrible soft cookies. Like, they were supposed to be, like, you just baked them kind of soft, but really, they weren't. They were just...
mush.
Flimsy, and... I mean, they weren't... I guess as a kid, they weren't bad, but... They weren't... I've never heard of the Pringles Hearty Potato Chips. Country style party potato.
Is that another one of those Japanese only type things?
Well, no, I don't think so. It was History's Dumpster. There's just a picture. I don't see an article about it, like to get more information. I don't know. I have to look it up somewhere else, I guess.
I remember when combos came out, they actually brought out a potato version of a combo. It had like a sour cream and onion dip in the middle.
Was it shaped like a combo but made out of potato?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it was.
I don't ever remember those.
I remember them. I know they haven't been made for well over 20 years, but yeah, they exist. They existed. I'm trying to remember what the name of them was. They were actually okay, but it was kind of like if you ever get the cheese crackers now with the cheese flavored stuff in the middle. You know, so that's kind of the consistency that the inner filling was. It was weird. And Planters cheese balls. We used to Planters get those all the time.
They still have those.
I think they just brought them back out again.
Yeah, so I remember looking at, like, seeing a commercial for those and completely forgetting about them, but I think, like, the Planters cheese balls are pretty damn expensive.
I think so.
Like, you can get the whatever supermarket brand for like a dollar or something, like $1.99, like the same thing. And then you get that small Planters cheese ball can of like peanuts, but with the cheese balls in them. 2.75 ounces for $1.99. Let's see. I'm sure like Lay's.
And I remember something. When you stopped at the gas station to get a pop at one point in mostly the 80s, the bottles weren't plastic, they were glass.
Yeah.
With a foam covering on it.
So, like, here you can get Utz's cheese balls in a 35-ounce container for $7.99, and the Planters cheese balls for like 2.5 ounces is like almost $2. It's too expensive. Take it away, Joel. Take it away.
Dan's like, give me like the crap. I don't remember what stores you have down there. He's like, give me the store brand, the Food Lion brand cheese balls.
Wegmans. We have a Wegmans down here.
Oh, you got Wegmans now? Ah,
well, so let me clarify that. The Wegmans is in Virginia Beach, so it's about a 45-minute drive away. Half hour, 45 minutes, depending on traffic. It's not too bad, but it's not convenient. You know, it's not like the 15,000 other stores between here and there. But I will drive it on a weekend to go to Wegmans because I freaking love Wegmans. But you know what's weird about this? So we just started going to Wegmans 2 weekends ago, right? So we go down to the butcher down there, Central Meats, and we're like, you know what? Let's just go to Wegmans. You know, we gotta go food shopping anyway, so we can go down to the butcher down in Greenbrier and shoot on over to Wegmans in Virginia Beach, right? We're past Wegmans anyway. And so we went in there, and it was fantastic. It was just like being back home in Pennsylvania again, going to Wegmans. Except, this is the weirdest thing, right? Of all the Wegmans I've ever been in, this one is like set up in the opposite way.
It's like they do that up here too.
It's just weird. Every Wegmans I go into, it's like over on the right is the prepared foods and the restaurant section over there and stuff. And then, you know, you got the produce right there in the middle and across. And this one is opposite. The prepared food and produce is on the left and everything else is to the right. I'm sorry, Alan, you were saying.
Yeah, they do that up here too. The one in Bethlehem is flipped compared to the one in Easton.
No, I think you have that wrong. The one in Easton is flipped compared to the one in Bethlehem.
Well, depending on which one you want to go to.
It doesn't really matter, dude.
It matters to me. But that's weird because I've been to that one. I've been to the one in Tillman Street. I've been to one in Wilkes-Barre, and I've been to one. I've been to one in Charlottesville and one outside of Richmond, and they all have been the same where it's been to the right, except this one, and I guess the one in Easton are to the left. That's pretty weird.
Yeah, I hate it worse is when you go to the same store all the time and then they just reset it and move stuff around. We went to the Meijer in Grove City and they moved the coffee. The coffee used to be like it was like one little tiny section of the last alcohol aisle, which they have the humongous alcohol section, which, I mean, they have like three rows of alcohol. I'm not kidding.
Wait, when you say alcohol, do you mean beer and wine, or do you mean
beer, like, wine, spirits, everything?
Oh, in Ohio, you can sell?
Yeah, in the store.
Liquor,
yeah, we use
in the store.
Yep. Yep, the only thing you can't get, you can get like you couldn't get something like Bacardi 151 at the grocery store, but you could get like a regular old 80 proof, I think.
Huh.
So, I mean, and shitty Smirnoff vodka.
Why don't they sell 151 in the grocery store? I mean, they're already there,
that's,
right?
That's for the state store. Or down where you are, that would be the package store.
No, we don't have package
store. You don't call it package
no,
store must
package
be Tennessee.
Store, I think package store ends in either Maryland or Delaware. We have they sell beer and wine in grocery store and convenience stores, but if you want like any alcohol,
Red Dot store,
you have to go into an ABC store.
Now see, when I lived in Pennsylvania, I remember my dad going into a bar just to buy a six pack.
Yeah,
pretty much you still do.
Except Wegmans, you can buy beer in Wegmans. I think they get around.
There are a few stores that are starting to sell that now. Yes, but
yeah, I think
it's not every store.
They got through that loophole because if they serve food,
oh, there you go.
You can sell. But I don't know if they still have the limitation of you can only take out 2 6 packs. Out of a place like Wegmans.
There is a limitation on it, but I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
Because it used to be...
I have seen the signs that said that there's a certain amount that you can take out.
Yeah, so you can only get... It used to be you could only get 2 6-packs, but if you wanted 4 6-packs, you could get 2 6-packs, take them out to your car, and then come back in and buy 2 more 6-packs.
Yeah.
And then you should get slapped in the face, because you could just go to a distributor for the price you paid for, like...
Get a case.
Almost one of those six packs, you get a whole case, because a bar will charge you like 2-3 times the price.
Yeah, that's like I lived 3 places in Pennsylvania. Actually, no, wait, 4 places. First place was the one I remember the most. That's we lived in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania, which is very close to Pittsburgh. So Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Then we had a couple places in Ohio that we lived in. Then we moved back to Pennsylvania to Berwick, Pennsylvania, up by not far from Wilkes-Barre. And then down to Essington, Pennsylvania. And then York, Pennsylvania, where I graduated high school from. West York, actually, is where my high school. But then after that, my parents moved from there to Essington. Not Essington. Well, we lived in Essington the first time, but the second time we basically across the freeway in Leicester. Is where they lived, and that's when I was in part of my college years until they moved to Tennessee, where they stayed. But I know Pennsylvania pretty well. Did a lot of vacations in Pennsylvania. There's one
All
summer
right,
where we had 5 visits to Hershey Park.
What's that, Joe?
I gotta join a call real quick. I'll try and jump back on. Hopefully you guys will still be on.
All right.
Well, okay, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Sorry, Joe. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah. Yeah, one summer I went to Hershey Park like 5 times. Which, that's expensive, but I got in one time with the band, and then my grandparents took me a couple times, and then my mom and dad wanted to go, and I love Hershey Park and Chocolate World are just really cool. Been years since I've been. I need to take Luke out.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a long time. Last couple times we went, it was always off season where the park wasn't open, but you could go through the World of Chocolate.
Yep. And you can get, the neat thing is you can always get stuff there that they don't have like out in the regular stores. You know, stuff they're kind of testing.
How far? That's a good, what, 5 hour drive from you?
More like 8.
8? Oh, yeah, okay, so is that
well, it depends. Depends on if and I don't think Pennsylvania's changed the speed limit from 65.
No, it's still 65.
Yeah, in Ohio it's 70 most freeways. So, I mean, you can go 70 in Pennsylvania, but you might get pulled over. You just can't go 75.
Well, you can go 70 without any problem. It's past that you can't.
I always like driving the turnpike, though. I just liked how they have that set up, the rest areas and the service plazas. Lot of memories of that stretch of the turnpike from New Stanton all the way out to at one point I used to have to, like, when my parents lived down towards Philly, I'd have to get off like near Valley Forge and drive like all these state routes down through Media and Upper Darby and all these different I'll call them suburban towns. They're such just suburban Philly towns, but then when they lived there the second time, they put in the Blue Route, which is basically a free ride that goes from King of Prussia all the way down to 95. And so that cut easily an hour off of my trip. Because I didn't have to stop at all the fucking stoplights. But yeah, I haven't been to that area of the country since I went to Eastern University for work, which was my second trip ever. Now I've been there for 5 years, and I get to go to Florida in December
for how many days?
A whole week. Like the 9th through the 13th.
You stay at Rich's place?
No, I'm in a Hampton Inn right across the street from the headquarters.
How far is that from where Rich lives, you know?
Well, that is Orlando area. We're in our headquarters in Lake Mary.
Yeah, you know,
I fly into Orlando. Okay, and now he works... I think during the week in Orlando, but he lives in Jupiter, which is an hour away. I have to find out how close Tracy is, because when I am flying in Sunday, so I'm trying to think if I have much time. I tried to schedule flights so that I can get there before it got dark. Is driving in a place you don't drive all the time when it's dark from a complicated airport is not fun. I can do it. It's just not fun. You know?
Uh-huh. Dun-dun.
So, and it's more... It's not training. It's just like a team meeting. So, and I'm sure we'll probably do... Like many different. See, and that's the other part. The only problem I have when I go to down there for team meetings is it's not just the 8 hours of your workday. because you go to dinner.
Yeah, no, you pretty much.
It's more like 12-hour days, buddy. You know?
And, you know, and if you end up like, so I don't know, when we do stuff like that where I work, you end up like working, we get like a group of people up there.
And you may have to do work from your room, too.
Stay at the same Airbnb or something, so then we all carpool into work, and then you have to stay as late as everybody else is staying. Or if you're the one that's end up staying later, you got to get your own, like, you know, so it never works out. You're like working less hours or the same hours. You got free time afterwards. There's always something going on.
Now the upside is a good chunk of our team is local down there. Uh-huh. So every person gets a rental car, which I'm totally fine with. Because I at least twice I was down there, I had to share a ride with somebody, and it's just a hassle and a half. It's like, but yeah, I may end up printing. I was kind of joking. But we'll see what my manager says. I was kind of joking. I said maybe I should make some ornaments on the 3D printer for the team. I might do that. Our team mascot is a hippo for some reason. We're the hippo team.
What was your other team's mascot?
We didn't have one.
Wow.
This is an exciting area of the company because there's just so much going on. We're adding clients left and right. So, I mean, we're growing. So that's kind of one reason why I went. It's because where I was, we weren't growing. But the only bad thing, though, is I really haven't done a lot of actual work yet because I'm still kind of trying feeling out things, learning snow, stuff like that. And the other is didn't have the actual onboarding talk with one of the managers until Friday last week, and I started Monday. So I don't have all my access squared away yet, and right now I'm waiting on my manager to approve my access so I can actually get into client systems and do work. Because we have to get the right VPN. I have the VPN, I have credentials, I can log into it, but they have it set up such that they basically can segregate the access to which clients you get access to. So I have some of them, like basically any clients that were in transition or are in transition, I have access to, and I have access to none of the people who aren't in transition, and that's all the people I work for. So it's like, all the ones that are in a quote unquote steady state. So, but it's still, I'm still liking it so far. You know, it'll get more busy. I'll get more busy probably here next week or so. And then I took Friday of Pumpkin Show off because I want to go down Friday during the day and not Saturday when everybody else and their brother is at the Pumpkin Show.
What's the Pumpkin Show?
It's this street festival thing in Circleville, Ohio, probably about 20-30 miles south of my house.
Oh, okay.
It's where they grow the big pumpkins and stuff. Carnival rides, which thankfully we never ride. We just go to eat now that Luke's older. He don't even care about the rides anymore. But you can go down there. I like to go down to the Deca stand down there and get me a pumpkin burger.
Oh, is it good?
It's hard to kind of, well, the way I explain it to people is it's like a sloppy joe because essentially that's what it is. But instead of a lot of tomato in it, it's actually got pumpkin and cinnamon and nutmeg and clove, you know.
And it's made with ground beef?
Yep, made with ground beef.
You know, it almost sounds close to like something Middle Eastern, like a shawarma. not the same, but similar, getting closer to cinnamon and all those other kind of spices.
Yep. And they have these things, like, if you look on the webpage I put in the IRC there, they have several pages that are cycling, some pictures there, and they have this one thing, it looks like these orangish-brown things. They'll call those waffles. I call those rosettes. Pumpkin. They're pumpkin-flavored.
Oh, these things. Wait, not the donuts.
See what's it? Oh, it's actually on the it's the picture that has the text. It says approximately 23,000 pumpkin pies and over 100,000 pumpkin donuts.
Oh, so are those sold aren't during donuts? The show.
Those are what they call pumpkin waffles.
Pumpkin, okay.
But they're rosettes is what they are. I mean, that's what people really call them. Now, the pumpkin donuts, man, the lines are huge. But if you wait, it's kind of worth it, because when you're walking out of the shop there with your bag of donuts, and dude, you can feel the warmth on the bottom of the bag, and you pull them out, and they're still warm and soft, and they're like eating. It's like eating a hot Krispy Kreme, but better, because they're cake donuts. They're delicious. They're pumpkin donuts at Lindsay's Bakery in Circleville, Ohio. So good. And they make them all year round, so I can probably just drive down there whenever I want and get some before the show even. But I've been trying not to eat as much of that stuff nowadays. Save it for when I go down there.
Third Wednesday through Saturday. Oh, wait. We got Ohio Linux Fest coming up soon.
In November. That's the latest it's ever been. It's funny. I'm getting these I shared a picture on Facebook the other day of back in 2015 when it was actually in September. And the last one that I remember 5150 going to.
November 1st and 2nd. Man, I wish I was going to be there.
I should register. I actually wouldn't mind it if not as many of the people came, because then I can just go down there for a couple hours and be done. Oh, I can look at a schedule, just go down there for when a talk I want is and go.
Yeah, maybe next year here. But
I don't see the schedule yet, do they?
I think they're still working on it.
When was the last time you were at a Linux Fest, Alan? Southeast Linux Fest?
Southeast, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah, this year I'm sort of, my money is sort of tied up elsewhere, so.
Well, you just bought a car.
Tied up in cocaine.
I just bought a car, and I'm also getting married in November, so.
Oh, congratulations, hey. Alan.
Thank you.
An actual
I thought I announced full that before.
Wedding. No, I think full, you did.
No, full wedding, or you're just going to the GOP?
It's a wedding, but it's not, you know, it's not small, like, you wedding. Know, church going. Yeah, it's just family Saint, and a dinner type thing.
Married by Saint.
You know, I'm not even totally sure who the guy is that's doing this ceremony.
It's just some guy you're pulling right off the street.
Whoever she picked, right?
Well, basically, neither one of us are overly religious people, so, you know, going to the church and getting it done. I've done that once before. Didn't do anything for me. Obviously, it worked out so well, you know. But,
where are you going?
Oh, we just rented a hall. Gonna have the family there, and then just, you know. Just a guy's gonna. It's somebody that because we're just gonna get the justice of peace, but you know they don't work on the weekends, so they were like, "Well, do you have anybody that you guys recommend?" And one of the people in the office was like, "Call this person." So he's a retired pastor, but I have no clue other than that. I'm like, well, just as long as his signature is good on there, I'm not gonna worry about it.
That's good.
And if it's not, I'll just, you know, if we find out it's not, we'll just go down to the courthouse during the week and
put that. Well, on your son's name, did they put Metzler on there for his last name?
Yeah. Yeah, he's Metzler.
Okay.
So there's no worry about changing stuff like that.
It's just hers, if she wants to.
Yeah, she's gonna. And that happens actually the 2nd, so November 2nd. So henceforth, the reason I'm not going to OLF.
You just more did important. What Randy did and got married.
Have Mad Dog marry him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's well, Pennsylvania is like pretty much you can get, you know, any like, you know, those online things, but I think the only one they actually officially take is, what is it, the Universal, whatever it is, the one that you get online. I can't remember the name of it. Universal Life Church, I think it is.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The church is not really a church. That's all they do.
Well, no, but according to the laws in Pennsylvania, you know, anyone can marry you as long as, but they consider, you know, if you're going to do, like, say, you're a pastor or something like that, you have to have a congregation. And most of them don't qualify as a congregation, but those people actually do. In Pennsylvania, they qualify as a congregation. So we were like, worst case, we were going to get her sister, just, you know, I was going to pay for her sister to become one, have it done with that. But it works out like this for right now. It should be interesting. And seeing as I got to pay for it, it was the easiest way out.
Well, she's already there, so.
Yeah, it's more of a formality type thing than anything else. And it's not even really a formality. We're just like, sure, why not? You know, like I said,
technically you're what, common law anyway.
No, not in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania doesn't have common law anymore. They did, but it was abolished about 20 years ago. So if you were common law before, then you still are. It's just they don't do that anymore. They don't consider that anymore. But we'll make it legal.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Guess we've got to start wrapping things up because Alan's got to go to bed.
Yep, I got to get going.
I gotta.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Hey, thank you, Alan.
Thanks for printing that thing out for me. Just like I said, let me know
Alan.
For what it's going to cost, and I'll get the cash out to you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Treat myself to the Mini, because the V2 is like $500.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so it's a little bit out of my price range for the
Mini. Mini's right around between $250 and $299, I think.
On their site, it was $299. They actually had it on sale.
Okay.
I found it in Amazon for $305 from them as well. So
one thing I would do just from the get go is I would purchase, look on the Amazon for the metal extruder kits. One very common thing that happens with those is the bracket that's on the other side of the spring will crack near the fulcrum.
Okay.
So then you'll start to get some under extrusions. Just buy the metal ones, the anodized. I got one. The one I have is red, and it's made of, everything's metal on it. Get that, and you'll be very satisfied. The only other upgrade I might consider sharing with you on that I had done was the Bowden tubing. I replaced it with a Capricorn. Which is the blue tubing, that is a little bit slicker than the standard PTFE.
Okay.
So it should go through a little bit easier. And those are cheap upgrades too. I mean, I'm talking both those probably less than $20. So
yeah, I bought that for the A8, the Bowden stuff for that. I never got it in because, like I said, you know, I don't have the piece. I got the drive unit for, you know, being able to move it up to the top of the right. The arm. I got the cabling and everything like that. I was trying to use the hot end that I have, but the you know, and I was trying to I guess you can buy another milled piece for there's a little piece where the drive unit's attached to right now that the hot end attaches to, you know, that has the holes lined up. And I was like, okay, I was trying to print one because they said that, you know, you can print one and it works pretty well as long as you have the fan. And I'm like, well, one, I don't have the fan anymore because I accidentally put a screwdriver through it by accident. But actually, it works better without the fan because I can actually load the damn thing. Because that was the one pain in the butt with the A8, that, at least on mine. It is practically impossible. I mean, it takes forever to put fucking filament into it. Because it's not a nice straight line. It looks like it's a straight line, but it's not. And then you when you go through the hole through the one of the heating elements there, it's just not smooth. That's actually why I broke some filament coming off, because I didn't let it heat up all the way. And usually you have to like push it down a little bit so it pulls through, and then you yank it back up real quick. And obviously I didn't yank it quick enough because it's stuck in there now. And of course that's where it breaks off, right at the edge. Every fucking time. So now it's like basically either I take the whole thing apart and try to push the damn thing through and yeah, do it that way, or I have some extra nozzles and stuff. I may just put the new nozzle back on it again rather than fight with it. But I think if I'm going to do that, I might as well just take the thing apart, put new belts on it,
yep.
See if I can clean it up to be a little bit better.
Ow! Gosh, before we go, the one thing that I wanted to share about cord cutting, I almost forgot.
Isn't this what we told you to hold off in the show for?
Probably. I discovered my TV has something pretty cool when you plug it the antenna into it. I have a Hitachi TV that actually has the Roku functions built into it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a guide. I assume it's probably getting it from the internet because it's got an Ethernet jack on the back for the rest of it. But
is it getting a guide for just the individual stations or for all the stations?
For all the stations it detects.
Oh, it so, may be getting the stations actually do that as well.
Yeah. But anyway, so I get that. But then it also told me, hey, if you plug in a thumb drive into the USB port on the back of the TV, you can pause live TV.
That's cool.
So, and you can pause it and you can rewind it. So if you just miss something on live TV, you can rewind it. It's not a DVR, but it's pretty cool nonetheless. So, but I played around with that a little bit this weekend. So, and what you'll find too, if you haven't hooked rabbit ears up for a while and just threw it up in the air to see what you can pull in, you can probably pull in not just three or four channels like we used to pull in when we was kids. You can probably pull in closer to 20 because they'll subdivide their frequency. Like channel 4 will have a 4 and a 4.1 and a 4.2, and they'll have different things on those feeds. So now the quality is probably not as good as if they took up the whole bandwidth that their channel would.
No, you will actually get still high def on them.
Well, you'll still get
very good stuff.
Right. But, like, you'll get, like, there's MeTV, which is, like, all reruns, and there's a Latin, Spanish channel, which I'd never watch, but anyway. But I'm quite impressed with what I was able to pull in just off the rabbit ears.
Down at my mom's house, she'll pull in about 30 channels with the outside antenna.
Yep, it's almost like cable was
not for me,
cable was back in the day.
For me, I'm in a hole, you know. I'm in a little valley, and so pretty much nothing comes in.
And then, the antenna I bought too was like an RCA branded one, but it's also amplified, so it's got an AC adapter on it too. So, I'm very happy with it so far. So I'll probably be carting my I have to see when they're open Saturday, but I'll probably be carting my cable box over to the we'll still have the cable company for internet because they're the fastest thing going right now, but turn off my TV, don't need it. Fubo is really good quality too. I kind of like YouTube's application a little bit better, but I'll live with Fubo.
All right, let me get going, people.
All right,
have a good one, everybody.
Good night. See you guys.
All right, I guess I'll play us out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Anyway. All right, thank you, everybody. Here are your happy day. Outro promos and everything. We'll see you in 1 week. Here we go.
Oh my God, it's Hacker
Look Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit LHSpodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
There we go.
And right here to top off all the cable cord cutting stuff, I get a thing on our local CBS affiliate on their Facebook page that says Spectrum, who was our cable company.
Uh-huh.
They're gonna stop carrying the CBS affiliate until they work out their deal. Absolutely hate that.
Well, what are you gonna do, huh?
Leave their ass. Just throw my antenna up, because it's so much easier to pick up digital TV than it is the analog TV. Either works or it doesn't.
Oy, oy, oy.
And next Wednesday, I go get to take my other car over to the dealer to get stuff fixed.
Well, how did that work out?
They couldn't find anything on the cruise, and it hasn't come back on since. So now the one of the lock actuators and the traverse in the back, the right passenger side door, the passenger side rear door, is acting up. To unlock it, I have to hit it several times. And then the same thing when to lock it. So I want to have a look at it at that, because hey, it's under warranty, it's covered, and Rich isn't on the show to chew me out. Not that I'll freaking care, but that's why I paid for the warranty, because I didn't want it to deal with that shit. But it's little stuff that happens. As long as it don't cost me nothing, I don't care about it. I'll have them do the oil change since it's in there, and then I'll be ready for the rest of the fall. Good night if you haven't stopped the recording.
No, I haven't stopped the recording yet, but I do have to stop it. I gotta. I'd love to go to bed, but I gotta do a maintenance window at midnight tonight.
Oh, crap.
It should be pretty smooth. It's just spanner database migration. Take all 15 minutes.
I haven't had to do any. I'll have late night stuff too, but they're pretty easy with flexing the time around. So if you had something real late, they'll let you start later in the morning or something like that.
Uh-huh. That's pretty cool.
And we're all pretty friendly on the Slack channel, so it's like we'll just throw stuff out there and, you know. Oh, I did get my first bespoke post shipment the other day. It's basically like a kind of like Loot Crate, but for men.
Uh-huh.
And I picked what they call the Terra package. And it had a bare bones hori hori knife. It had a bird call. Audubon bird call. And apparently one of the things I found out is bespoke has a lot of the stuff, like the expensive stuff is usually not something they make there. So like the bird call is some, like, things that might have been made by Audubon, the bird society folks.
Right.
And bare bones made the hori hori, and but they have like their own brands of like grooming products, like shaving cream and stuff like that. And Baselight is like one of their brands, and they had it was like a grooming bar. It has a supposed to detox bar. It had like charcoal and stuff in it. It actually smells pretty good, so I have been using it. But since this is my first shipment, they also sent a box, like a free box, and in there was something I'll never use: beard oil. I've got a friend I'm going to give it to. A sweater stone and a little like notebook thingy. And an LED light that when you pick it up, it looks like it might be powered by a AA, but it's actually powered by a coin cell. And where the AA would normally go is like a little storage section. Kind of handy. And then what I actually put in the storage section is something else that was in the free box, and that was a P-38. You know what a P-38 is, Dan?
What's a P-38?
Military can opener.
Okay.
So it's a little tiny can opener. It's very small, maybe about the size of a 50-cent piece. It's not very big. And it's just got a little blade that flips out, and there's a notch on it. You put the rim of the can in the notch, and then you just rock it back and forth. If you've ever seen any of the Steve 1989 videos on YouTube where he's eating like the old MCIs and stuff, and he's opening it up with a can opener, that's what it is. It's that little. That's the thing he's using. So that was one of the freebies, and a sweater stone, which I don't know if I use because I don't wear too many sweaters, but I guess if I get sweaters, I can use it on those. It's basically to like remove pilling and stuff, pilling and balling off a sweater.
Uh huh.
But this month, I didn't like anything they had. The one they picked for me was a cast iron fry pan and like pancake mix and maple syrup. And it's like, well, I already got the fry pan, so I don't need it. Let me see if I can make the bird call work. There you go. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but
yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, it has a, it's like a die-cast metal plug into a birch wood piece, and it's screwed into the bottom. But you can kind of move it up and down a little bit, but you can. I have to go outside and play it, screw around with the birds. It came with a little pill full of rosin that you put on the metal part of the bird call when it doesn't make as much squeaky noises.
Yeah.
Oh, it had a little bag that that stuff was in too, but I don't care about that. Little muslin bag. So it's probably something I'll just stay on there, and it's usually at the beginning of the month when the new boxes come out, so I probably won't get one every month just because, dude, it's $50. This month it was totally worth it because that knife is probably $50 itself. Hori Hori, if you didn't know what Hori Hori is, in Japan, in Japanese, I guess Hori Hori means dig dig. And it's the knife blade itself has a sawtooth on one side and a straight edge on the other, and it's concave. So it's kind of made to dig with in dirt. And then it's got a twine cutter down near the pommel on the handle, and you can also use that to open up a bottle. And then on the actual pommel itself, it's got a very heavy metal plug on it. It's kind of designed to hammer stuff in. So I don't know if it's definitely wouldn't be a knife I'd want to take with me backpacking, because it's not the straight edge on it's not very sharp, and I don't think it ever will be because it's made out of stainless. So I have a different knife I would take with me if I was backpacking or camping. Although I might take a car camping for sure. But it's just handy. You know, I actually like to collect knives too. So I wouldn't mind if I could find one of those old survival knives. Do you remember the Rambo knives they had when we were kids?
Uh-huh.
With the little hole in the back. Now, if it was the actual knife I was actually going to use for things, I wouldn't want that. Because it makes the knife too weak. I'll have to try cutting something with the straight edge, but the serrated edge is kind of nice. That actually wouldn't mean too bad on a hike. Like cutting brush out of your way when you're hiking, that might be nice to have with you. Come with a sheath too, so you can just clip it on your belt. I'd like to go fishing again before it gets too cold.
There you go. Yeah, I gotta stop this recording. Holy mackerel.
Oh, you didn't stop it? I thought you did.
Oh, not yet. Say goodnight, Joe.
Good night.
It's like just two pieces of filament just next to each other. They're not even connected, really. Now, they are connected, but it's
under extrusion.
Yeah, I tried playing around with it because, you know, I found that, like, it tends to, like, make things slightly larger than they should be, which is not a big deal if it's you're only printing one piece, but if you have things that try to, like, hook up with one another, then they don't fit. And I tried that thing where it was, you know, where you measure out, like, 100 millimeters of
mm-hmm.
filament, and then run it through, like, 10 millimeters at a time. And I thought I had it set so that, you know, 100 was 100, because it was like, you know, originally 100 was like 102 when I measured it out. So I went back, I dialed it back a little bit, and it just didn't seem to get any better. You know, I figured that was maybe why I was
like,
you might
have put a little lube on that nipple.
I thought you were sick.
You might have to put a little lube on that nipple.
Oh, that's Dan's board. Okay, never mind.
Got him.
That was good.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, yeah, just let me know how much it costs to send it back, send it out here. That'd be fine. I'll get you the cash.
Your address in the call book, good.
I have no clue what's in the call book. I'd have to look.
Then send me the address then.
Yeah, I'll send you the address. It's probably the easiest way. It should be okay, but I don't know what the hell's in there, to be honest with you.
No, apparently the V2 is supposed to be switchable from the from Bowden drive to direct drive.
Hmm.
Which is nice, because direct drive is a little bit better for TPU.
Okay.
Actually, direct drive's better in general, to be honest, but
I'll have to take a look. Like I said, maybe I'll treat myself for Christmas.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, it's a 300 by 300 by 400 millimeter build surface. Pretty nice. Resfit, actually, ooh, max printing speed is fast, 180 millimeters per second.
Hmm, okay.
I usually print around 50.
I don't even know what this one's printing at. Need to probably just take it into the basement and slowly take it apart, put every, you know, line everything back up. I think it's the belts are the biggest issue.
You have, what, A-Net A8, right?
Yeah. I mean, other than, like I said, the annoying hot end, but...
Probably the biggest problem with the A8 is the frame is acrylic.
Yeah, well, I printed out some spacers, and I put the spacers in, the stiffeners, excuse me. So I've got those in there. I don't really notice too much in the way of shake. I mean, I'm sure it does a little bit compared to, you know, to aluminum. But I don't. It's not anything you really can notice. But I don't think that's my printing issue. It's just,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what my printing issue is, but see, some things are better than others.
Other than some of the things I already mentioned, CR10 B2 has 24-volt, 350-watt power supply. A lot of the older ones are like 12.
Okay.
It comes with... a lot of people have been adding braces to theirs, like between the bottom frame and the gantry. I have never done that, but the 10 V2 has those included.
Okay.
So it's definitely... it's every bit better of a product than the original was.
Okay, I'll have to take a look at that. So yeah, I really don't need the exactly extra sure size, the but...
Right. Oh, but know. It's nice to have, you know.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's, you know, it's not that much more expensive.
If I could afford two, what I would probably do is buy two of them and then put like a sticking big nozzle on one of them. for printing the big stuff. Because when you're printing at 0.4 millimeters, it takes a long time to fill the build play of platform. A long time. I did. Yeah. I found a 3D model of a skull I was going to probably do for Halloween. And it's actually fairly large. It's I don't know if it's full size, but... The default out of the box, and this is without me messing around with it scaling, over a day and a half.
Hmm.
I mean, and this is at 20, you know, 0.2. I haven't tried it. 0.3, I think it could work at the 0.3 layer height, but I think it might be a little, not. It's a little too detailed for that low of a, or that high of a layer height.
Hmm. Okay.
Like bigger things, like if I print a box or something like that, I usually will hike the layer height up to low quality because it doesn't need the extra resolution. There's no details, there's no lettering or anything like that, you know, in a box. So,
yeah, but you don't really care too much about that.
But like I printed off like a just despite everyone, I printed off a hand showing the OK symbol.
I saw that.
And I'm trying to remember how I put that at 0.3 or 0.2. There was two versions in the zip file. There's a regular version and a low-poly version. I printed the low-poly version, which still doesn't look very low-poly to me, but it looks really good.
Okay.
It did need support, but I'm trying to think. I think I did print it at 0.3. It had some weirdness with the skirt. Like, it layered, put the skirt under the print. I don't know why. It didn't miss it. It just that's just how it laid down. It was weird.
Hmm. So is this V2? Is this V2 out yet?
I'm sorry.
Is the V2 out yet?
That's a good question.
It just says inquiry.
Yeah. I'd have to actually look. Well, all 3DP has specs for it.
Yeah. I've seen that. I'm actually on the Creality, if it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Creality 3D official.
Yeah, it. I think it's due to come out very, very soon. But failing that, I like any of the Creality ones myself. That's my favorite brand. That's relatively easy to put together and cheap.
Okay. Well, I'll have to play around with this and see what. Maybe a Christmas present for myself, because.
Yeah. You can go all the way, like, the Ender 3 and the Ender 5s. The Enders are usually the ones you completely assemble yourself, I think. I don't know. I don't know if it's still that way. I know the Ender 3 was just a box of parts like the A-Net was. But the CR-10 and the CR-10 Mini, the V2, is basically, you'll have to put it together. Usually all you have to do is attach the top gantry to the bottom and then plug all the cables in, and that's about it.
Okay.
Very easy. I played around with Ubuntu 19.10. We can talk about that on the one show when we start it.
Cool.
You can well, there is. I haven't figured out how to use it yet, but you can supposedly install Ubuntu on ZFS. With 19.10. It's experimental.
Rich, how are your nipples, Rich?
You might have to put a little lube on that nipple.
Sorry, I wasn't quick on the draw there. I was trying to find something.
He was. He's trying to find his nuts.
What? That's not nice. All right, guess we should get this show going.
All right. I also want to talk a little bit about Cobra Kai Season 2.
That was out months ago, dude.
I know it was out, and I finally finished watching it.
What about Titans Season 2?
Wait. Teen Titans sure. Season 2?
No, Titans Season 2. Teen Titans is, no, it's Young Justice. That's up to, like, Season 3 now, or 4.
Wait, which Teen Titans are we talking about? Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go, or Young Justice?
I would like to have the original Teen Titans back.
Did you see the Teen Titans Go movie?
I did not, no.
It is freaking funny as hell. Definitely see it. And for an answer to your question, Alan, or your comment, watch it all the way through to the end.
Okay. I will search it out.
I'm sorry, Joe, you were saying?
No, I'm talking about Titans on DC streaming.
Oh, that Titans. So you got like Titans? Teen Titans Go, Teen Titans. I'm sure there's a fourth one out there somewhere, isn't there?
Young Justice.
Young Justice, that's right. Ay, ay, ay. Too many.
But Teen Titans ended a long time ago, the original cartoons, and then Teen Titans Go came out. And while that was going on, hold on, I need to yell at someone. Last year, Titans started up on DC streaming.
Now, are you keeping up with, like, Green Arrow and all of them?
No, not anymore.
See, I stopped watching those too, but then like I'm like, whoa, they have what's the crossover? Kingdom
right,
Come.
They're supposed to, yeah, they're supposed to have a crossover with Smallville.
Yeah, and they're supposed to do Kingdom Come. And I'm like, wow, are you serious?
Yeah, but this is also Arrow's last season.
Well, I just have to pick it up on I used to get them all on Netflix right now. So you have the DC channel?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, that answers my question, because I was going to ask you how it was, but no, it's pointless.
Well, yeah. Doom Patrol is good. I really enjoyed it. Teen Titans Season 1 was good. Titans Season 1 was good. Titans Season 2 has started out really well, and they're supposed to be bringing in Superboy, but they haven't yet, and I'm on, like, Episode 3. And it's weekly releases for all of their stuff. And Swamp Thing was great, but evidently that's canceled because of taxes. But I haven't watched any of the Young Justice that they've produced for DC streaming.
Well, I guess my question is, do you have the service, or have you just seen the shows?
I've seen the shows.
So you've seen the shows at somebody else's house who has the service, right?
Exactly.
Because I was just curious, because I know, like, the service comes with a whole bunch of other stuff, and I was just curious how that other stuff was.
I've actually looked into it, because I've considered getting it for myself. And, you know, they do have a lot of comic books available on there, a back catalog of comic books. And they do have a lot of the DC cartoon movies and all of that. And it does look like it would be a good investment if you have kids that are really into, you know, comic book movies.
Right.
But then you could say the same thing about Disney. And I'm only paying for so many services.
Mm-hmm. I'm dropping my Spectrum TV cable.
I dropped this cable.
We should probably start the show.
Yeah, this would be good on the show, you know.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Alan.
Oh, no. We save it for the show.
All right. $828, I think. Right?
Sounds like a good number.
Yeah. Whoa, what am I doing? What am I doing, Joel? There we go.
Picking your ass? I don't know.
All right, let me make sure this is the episode where... I think it's 800 and... I'm pretty sure it's 800. Ah, can't type. Yeah, 828. I thought it was right.